This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 3, Episode 65, I chat with Brisbane and Gold Coast runner Tim Vincent. This is Tim's second time on the show, with his appearance this time specifically about his recent amazing 9th fastest Australian all-time marathon, his 209, recently in the Frankfurt Marathon. We start talking about his recent training and the Sydney Marathon becoming a major, then go into depth about his Frankfurt Marathon training and the race itself. It all finishes with Tim talking about his future running. I hope you enjoy. We welcome the 9th fastest all-time Australian male marathoner to the Local Legends in Running podcast. That is Tim Vincent. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Absolute pleasure to be back on here.
Awesome, mate. I know you've done a recap of your race at Frankfurt Marathon a few weeks ago on your own new podcast, the Journeyman podcast. How's that going, that podcast?
Pretty good. We kind of just having a bit of fun with it. Hey, I don't even check stats. I don't think we've even got 200 followers on Instagram, to be honest. So it is actually at the point of three blokes having a ramble weekly, but it is quite fun. Like, we're getting a few polls out, having a crack at each other and slowly learning by failing forwards and having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it can be a challenge out there. Inside Running Podcast lead the way. I heard Brady Trollfall mention he had 24,000 listeners tune in to, I think it was Izzy Bat Doyle, about a month ago on their podcast. But yeah, similar, have a few hundred loyal listeners who are very much looking forward to listening to you, Tim. And we're here for a specific reason. We alluded to it just earlier. That was the Frankfurt Marathon and that amazing run. Before we get there, how's just today been and recent running? It's been super hot around Brisbane and Gold Coast, hasn't it?
Yeah, I struggled a lot the first week coming back here. I'd spent probably a month in Europe, so I missed the whole warm-up, if you like, to summer. Not that anyone gets much of a warm-up, it just usually flicks a switch, but it was a bit of a rude shock coming back from single digits. So I've pretty much spent 2 weeks trying to adjust to that.
Yeah, and I saw you over in New Zealand, and I was trying to just make sense of what that was for on Instagram, and I believe it's a connection to one of your sponsors, LSKD. And you managed, I think it was an 11K win over there at the Auckland Marathon.
Yeah, correct. So it was an absolutely awesome opportunity, hence why I didn't want to pass it up, because I typically wouldn't want to race, right, 7 days after a marathon. But it was like our sponsor team, all the other run athletes with LSKD kind of coming together, brainstorming, planning. Like, it was bigger than just the Auckland Marathon, if that makes sense. That was kind of like just there for us to kind of do what we do, but there was big picture stuff going on behind it. So yeah, got myself through the run, thankfully injury free, which was nice, and had a lovely week down there.
Yeah, so for listeners who had no idea that you ran that race, an 11K, again, an odd distance, but I think you come in there at 34 minutes something. And was that 2 weeks after the marathon as well, Tim?
Seven, 6 days,
Six
7 days,
days.
7 days, I think.
Yeah.
If you want to get really technical, it's probably 6.5 because we lose the 12 hours or whatever it is on time zone as well. So it was more just jet lag, to be honest, and fatigue. It was a cool mental way to approach a race, if that makes sense. Like I even said it to the LSKD team members on the morning of. I was like, this is the definition of like a rainy, windy Tuesday night in Stoke. Like you're rocking up. It's an away game. Your back's against the wall. It's like, who cares what you do? You've got a job to do. Doesn't matter how it gets done, but do it.
Awesome, mate. I assume LSKD had timed the trip there to coincide with the event itself.
Yeah, and not only that, they've actually got a few stores opening up this week and I believe next week as well in New Zealand. So that's kind of the whole big push behind that as well.
Great. And it's good to see LSKD moving up in the world. Jackson Patterson Wright, another younger athlete, local athlete in Brisbane on board there, and heaps of like social runs they're doing now, and just to see them just get around the elite athletes in general, but also their gear, like their gear's gone next level too, particularly their clothing, don't you think?
I'm really enjoying it, and some of the cooler, lighter fabrics that are still yet to come are really quite exciting. And the really nuts thing to me is like I'm quite a simple guy, so even just like light fabrics, I'm like, oh, cool. But seeing the design process on the inside, like they make anything kind of possible, and they don't take no for an answer. So if they want something, they'll make it happen. And it's such an incredible mindset in terms of like development of product. I think it's why they're so successful and growing so rapidly. So yeah, B, I can't say too much about stuff coming, but they've got some pretty cool stuff coming to the run space in the next few months.
Well, stay tuned, LSKD fans, or if you're not a fan yet, get amongst it, mate. One last thing I wanted to talk about before we chat about all things Frankfurt was the Sydney Marathon now being on the agenda of a world major, which has been a long time coming in Australia. And just wanted to see your thoughts on the event. And firstly, I just had wondered if you'd even done the event, but secondly, how that's going to impact running, do you think, in Sydney, but also the country?
I think it's pretty cool. Firstly, so now seven majors, but to have one on our doorstep is like incredible. Probably I might be biased here, but probably the most picturesque of the courses. Such a unique race, so very well deserving. But to have even as an elite athlete now, probably opportunities of maybe being able to race that or potentially pacing jobs, or just I feel like it opens so many doors for athletes as well in this country to kind of step on that level of performance that you may not get at a New York or a Chicago or a Berlin. So I think that's really sweet to start. And then even I don't know, like I look at the logistics of, for example, if I was to try and do all just and it's like I probably wouldn't ever get to all of them. So to be able to tick one off in your own country is pretty cool.
Yeah, we're experiencing a running boom massively this year, aren't we? And probably, it's built has built over the last few years, probably plateauing a bit this year, but you'd call this year the biggest. I just think from an elite point of view, we're going to get more from overseas, aren't we? But also, what do you think of internally? Do you think more of that elite end are going to attend it? It's already been from the recreational and a slower run at point of view, being quite attended, hasn't it, out of the Australian marathons?
One thing I loved was seeing the like date change instantly as well. So I think it was 2 weeks earlier, which is really, really cool. So I know that doesn't seem like much to most people, but even just the peace of mind having it in August, a little 2 weeks earlier, everyone probably remembers would have been 2023, the hot one. And I know that was even later, but we would never want to repeat of conditions like that. So it's really cool to see the organizers all over that. Now with an August start. Also everyone's in shape for our winter season, so I think it's going to correlate quite nicely to see people jumping over to that. So whether it be the marathon or, for example, pacing jobs, I don't know if they're going to keep the 10K. I'm not in the loop there, but yeah, pretty cool
Yeah,
nonetheless.
that would be very interesting. And like you said, like it's not going to be a Valencia, Osaka, a Berlin where overseas athletes are going to travel to run fast. They may run fast and it could be, efficient runners over the hills. But like you said, picturesque, and it's a touristy city, isn't it? Sydney, it's the capital, and it's going to attract, I think, numbers in so many ways.
Yeah, and in saying that, like we are pretty close to, like for example, like Africa. Like was it Stephen Makoka? I think he came out 2022, maybe a few other guys. So we're pretty well connected to the rest of the world. Like I know we are many hours on a plane, but for some of those guys in South Africa, it's like really not that much further to probably come to Sydney than it is to go all the way up.
And then we think of all the African athletes, the Kenyans, we could probably add them in there, but definitely that South African attachment, New Zealand, but we don't see too many New Zealand runners out there. But let's move ahead, Tim. I think we should probably do a recap of Tim as a person, as a runner, because this is your second time on here. I think we spoke, it would have been the last year and a half, and we had a good chat about that Bridge to Brisbane win years ago. Was that 3 years ago? That must be on your list of biggest achievements. But then also, yeah, just you as a person, we've touched on LSKD. I think Saucony get behind you as well. I think you're doing a bit of coaching. Who you've been running with, Gold Coast Run Co there, and just work outside of running, how you are biding time.
Sweet. I'll get started on that. You may have to prompt me as I go through because I'll
That
definitely
was a big
ramp and
question.
forget all those things. To start with, so yeah, hadn't spoke probably since Bridge to Brisbane. I think it was the first time, and then I was lucky enough to win it a second time last year. So in the meantime, I've been busy. I'm not sure I've spoken since. Have we spoken?
Actually, no, we spoke post the Gold Coast. Your
Why
debut,
not
wasn't
run
it?
marathons?
What's that?
Yeah,
Sorry.
that's what I was saying. I was like, I think I might have spoke post Gold Coast. So this could
Gold
even be
Coast.
number three. But nonetheless, so since Gold Coast, I've probably transitioned more towards marathon running. I like the shorter stuff, but kind of realistic to understand that that's probably where my niche is going to be more on the roads. So training's kind of adopted more that way. Yeah, longer, slower stuff. But in saying that, it's just like, more cumulative work than ever before. So the training hasn't picked up in terms of intensity, but it's just longer and harder because of the accumulation of it, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, for sure. And mate, Gold Coast, so you're obviously an athlete for them. I just noticed on your Strava profile you had coaching in there. Is that of Gold Coast, that recreational Gold Coast group, or is that athletes away from that scene?
Great question. So yeah, I'm doing the online part of Gold Coast Run Co. Because what Stawell was this year was, we've got all these great groups and stuff, but he'd been getting so many people reach out for various reasons, wanting help, coaching online, and it was just something that our club didn't really offer. We have a massive community and we really endorse our run clubs and being in person, but just with the way the run space has gone in the last 2 years, going online has been a massive thing as well. So that was an opportunity where we thought, may as well give this thing a bit of a go. And yeah, that's what I've been running with them this year.
Great, mate. And just on your running in Gold Coast Run Co, it's been in a fantastic group for years. I've spoken to a few of your mates, Louis McAfee and Jordan McLennan, about their running. I think both of them too post their amazing marathons in the last couple of years. But how is that group looking now? Like you're a Kedron man, aren't you? You're a Brisbane-based
Correct. Yep.
athlete, but you train down the Gold Coast at times, and a lot of jogging I see around those areas in Brisbane.
Yeah, so I'll only go down the coast now on a Saturday morning just because you could say I've gotten lazier. I love sleep more. I'm also not a uni student anymore. So I work 5 days a fortnight, which is in the grand scheme of it, pretty cushy. I'm on part-time rather than full-time, but still nonetheless not able to just get up at 4 in the morning and travel down the Gold Coast anymore. So I limit that to a Saturday, depending on the time of year, and every other day is Brisbane via correspondence.
Yeah, and that is ex phys work, isn't it? Exercise physiology that I noticed as well. Where do you work out of, and who are you working with?
Yes, I'm actually at a practice, agility, physiotherapy, and Pilates. So predominantly a physiotherapy practice. I work in there as an exercise physiologist, and it's at our Ascot practice. So there's two, one at Ascot, one at Bulimba. Have a lovely time working there. They even let me run on my lunch breaks, which is very kind of them. They're very like
Lucky man.
permitting for my training. I love the clientele, so it's a really great place to be. And yeah, they've been very, very, very kind to me with all the time off I need from work.
Right. Does that mean you eat lunch during work hours then? You run at lunch and eat during hours?
You'll love this. So if I take a 60-minute lunch break, I'll go for a run. Typically, if I'm out the door, I had it right before I went to Europe, I had it absolutely pinned down. So I think I was out the door by like 3 past the hour. I could push it back to like 42 past, order my banh mi, eat my banh mi in about 5 to 7 minutes, in the shower for 3 to 4, walk up the corridor, usually back at the desk or ready to see a client 5 to.
That's awesome, mate. That have to be meticulous to get that right. It sounds like it. I think we've covered everything there. I did ask you quite a long-winded question, but I'm hoping the listeners have either heard about you for the first time there, or maybe they've had things come to mind from those last couple of interviews or last interview. I just can't remember if it was been two with you at this very point in time in the past. Let's get to the Frankfurt Marathon. Before we get to the race itself, and of course, being ninth all-time Australian marathoner there now with that time, I just want to hear about the training leading up to that event that led to such a result, particularly just with the time, like how it worked with the time of year and how you sort of blocked your training together there, Tim.
Yeah, so I'd probably say my training indirectly started probably after Gold Coast because I had such a poor result there for what I was hoping for. I think I couldn't even tell you the time. I was that disappointed with it. Probably, I think it was like 106, even 105. But nonetheless, that really it kicked me into gear. From that point, I was really running probably at minimum 160 kilometer weeks, just week after week. Doing nothing different, but just with a kind of inspired level of motivation after such a terrible result. And I just kind of like locked in till the end of August, ran cross country. So, point being, I just did a lot of hard yards, nothing different to what anyone else does or what I've done previously, but just got a really good foundation underneath me. And that allowed me to start the specific stuff for the marathon in August. And I knew pretty quickly. The things were going probably better than we planned. Like my first few sessions, I was just able to roll the same sessions that I'd done previously for the other three marathons, but much, much faster. So things like could be 3 or 4 by 4K or 5K, and I was able to hold 306s for the reps and not feel too terrible. You'd have your good days and your bad days, but generally speaking, like I think before Gold Coast, the first one, I was running like 318s and Daegu was
Yeah,
probably
I
like
recall that. Yeah.
312. So just similar sessions and getting good indicators, but still kind of nothing too crazy. So I chipped away probably 180, 190, few weeks heading into would have been September because I pretty much left 4 weeks before Frankfurt to go to Europe. And this one was pretty well swept under the rug because I was so annoyed with the performance. Not most of it was out of my control, but I actually raced a half in Portugal about 3 weeks before Frankfurt. And I ran 106, came 5th or 6th in a race that was 1 in 63 by a 59-minute Kenyan athlete.
Which is about your PB, isn't it?
59, not me.
No,
Or
63.
I've run 62:01 in Murragami this year, so that's probably my legal personal best. But nonetheless, so this race in Portugal, last year it was 1 in 60 minutes. So I was going over there thinking, you're going to get a decent hit out, right? Before this marathon, might be able to get two birds with one stone, get both PBs. Rock up. It's like the most humid thing I've ever seen. It's like probably I've actually related to kind of conditions at the moment here. And road was slippery. It was just like one of those days where nothing goes your way in terms of conditions. Nonetheless, I was proud with how I actually ran it. It was a pretty good run, but you just cross the line and you've got nothing to show for it. And it was off the back of that Gold Coast run, which was obviously terrible. but I still had literally the same thing to show for it. So I was like beyond frustrated is an understatement, especially when I'd put in so much work. And I was literally running 65-minute half marathons every Friday for workouts, with jogging in there. So that actually made me find another gear again, to be honest. And I went up to the mountain in Italy, Lavigno. So I was at altitude for probably, it was a very short stint, 1800 meters for probably 12 days. Just lived like a hermit, ate so much food, just gym and two runs every day except for Sunday. And that's probably maybe what helped me find another gear.
Yeah, so that experience of Portugal, that in some way inspire you to, in the sense that you, it's not a great time for you, but considering the conditions, did you take something out of that, that just the effort of it in any kind of way to remain optimistic in some shape or form?
For the marathon, indirectly, I was a bit worried. The only confidence I got was actually out of my coach. So he was confident. He didn't seem too bothered, to be honest. I was the only one that was, well, he was the only one that was like had confidence, and I was just like, why are we fronting up for a marathon after that? You're really not going to get too much better in three weeks, right? So I probably have a lot to thank of him just almost like grounding me and just going, get up to the mountain in 2 days, brush it off. You got this to do one day at a time. And I think even the fact that mentally you don't have a choice, like in that situation, you've got two choices, right? You can either let it affect you or you can push forward and do your best. And there's really only one way for success. So you're kind of forced into it. And that's also how I saw it. So even though you may not fully believe in yourself, you know that if you want to get to that outcome, that's where you got to go.
Yeah, well, let's get to the outcome of Frankfurt. And mate, we've seen in the last 2 years, we've seen five, if I'm correct, five Aussie men under 210, you included. So that'd be Brett Robinson, Pat Tiernan, Liam Adams, yourself, and
Andy,
Andy
I
Buchanan,
think.
wouldn't it? That's the five. I'm pretty sure, yeah, Liam's run under 210 in the last few years, hasn't he? So it's five now. And you're amongst that.
Liam ran 208, 30.
Gold Coast.
Oh, no, 2 2 0. Anyway, I'm going to get that wrong. Sorry, Liam. But yeah, that ridiculous Gold Coast run of his.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, you're amongst those guys now, and that isn't that pretty remarkable in 2 years we've had that many men go under 210, but you're just behind Pat Carroll. He's in eighth quickest male of all time, and he's still a prominent figure out there in the community with his running group in Brisbane, PCRG, and a well-respected and knowledgeable man in the running world. And behind you, Lee Troop. So just throwing those names around, how does that make you feel sitting here right now?
Incredibly honored. I also probably don't credit my run enough. Maybe I do, but I think our shoes have a lot to play with it. And you can even probably back that up worldwide with the number of increases in sub 210 performances. Still incredibly proud of my run, but I don't believe I'm at the level of the names that you've read. Almost kind of similar to cycling, where it's just different eras and stuff like those names on that list. I put them up on pedestals there. Like, yeah, guys I look up to. So it's an honor to be on that list. I think I've still got some work and improvement to do to kind of be regarded beside those guys, in my career.
Yeah, well, very modest answer, Tim. And I'm sure, as the runs continue to and hopefully improve, that you're feeling comfortable around those names. I always thought it was just fate that one of you guys, Gold Coast guys, you, Liam, Jordan, Louis, one of you guys gets down to here. And I still generally believe all those guys, if they commit to the marathon, can continue to improve. But I think it'd be pertinent now probably to get to the race itself, Tim. And I looked through your Strava just earlier today and noticed you're awfully consistent. And I was trying to do some math quickly as a math teacher. I didn't have enough time, but it looked like you were awfully close to a negative split. Is that right, or was it pretty constant?
I think it was a pretty solid negative split just because the first, there was a 5K from 15 to 20 that was a bit slower. So I know my halfway split was 65, 33, and then the back half was 64.07.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Let's talk about start to finish. Did you find a good pack in there, and how did it look race-wise?
I was absolutely like blessed to have a pack. It was the first marathon where I'd had a pack apart from Gold Coast, where I probably went with the wrong group. So this was the first one where I felt like I was with a group, but at an aggressive tempo, if that makes sense. So I knew like it was a really nice thought to have to go, if I just sit here and if I survive here, you finish with a personal best. So it was a pretty cool spot to be in because I felt good. I felt like I could run on at any time. So that was probably how I was kind of thinking about the race within the first 10 kilometers. I was like, be patient. You're out here a long day. I was trying to flash back to Daegu where I had the opposite experience and ran 2:16 in April. So that was right in the forefront of my mind. What can happen in the marathon? So that probably got me through till 20, 25K when I knew I was going to get home, and started to have the confidence to slowly wind it up a bit. Speaking about the pace group, had an absolute legend of a pacer, Jackson Kemboi from Kenya. He pulled us through to about 35 kilometers of the 42, gave him a handshake, and pretty much had 7Ks alone after that. So
Wow.
he basically ran 2:10 and just steps off and goes, have a good day. And he was waiting for me at the finish with a smile.
What a weapon. And what a
Yeah, it's.
generous thing to do. I noticed a 250 in there on Strava, and now we can't trust Strava entirely with satellite connections. But was that accurate in any way? I saw a 250 somewhere in the 30 to 40K mark.
Great question. So I usually rely off my watch pretty well. Like I think it's relatively accurate. That's the first time I've experienced it being grossly inaccurate. Don't know why I didn't like the city of Frankfurt very much in around the large building. So we did a lot of laps at the start and at the end in amongst these buildings, and that would explain the 250. However, what you can typically do, and I do this a bit in these situations, is if you add the K before and the K after, typically that 3K split will still be correct or very close to it. And then you could divide that by three and you've got a pretty good chance of being within 1 to 2 seconds of what the actual pace was.
Yeah, I like that. So hitting about 35K then, were you still in the mindset that this was possible 210, or was it a real struggle at this point and hanging on for dear life?
Kind of felt like I got better as I went up until 39K. So at 35, once again, I still felt like I was going to get home. And that's a really powerful thought to have in the marathon. And I've only had it this run and in Kobe last year where getting home is not a question and it's just how fast can you run. So that was pretty cool. So it was pretty much just put the foot to the floor within reason. So I felt like I had maybe, if I had six gears in the car, I was pretty much operating at about fifth, leaving sixth for probably the last 2 to 3K to really make sure you're going to get home. And I was quite glad I did that because I got to 39K and I've never felt like this before. It was like someone just sniped me out of nowhere. So I felt like all of a sudden running just got hard, but like my legs didn't hurt. It was just like I got this head flush through my legs, rhythm just gone. So after like an hour and 50 or almost 2 hours of running, very rhythmic, it was like I didn't know if I could run another 400 meters just without any rhythm. And the only thought that got me through that was just if you jog this in or tempo it in, you will still run a PB. And that's actually what I resorted to in the end. Like I had no conception of what my actual speed was, had no GPS really that I could rely on. So I was just running to effort and I'm like, you're finishing this to the best of your ability, but just know even if it's crap, you're still that far ahead. Like keep pushing. Thankfully enough, I managed to get to my 40K bottle. Panic chugged it, so just like necked the whole thing as quick as I could. Got some glucose back into me, didn't realize I was up a slight uphill, so quickly turned, had the downhill home to finish. The glucose hit, and it was just foot to the floor, and then saw the rest of that bottle come up at the line.
So good, mate. Hey, do you read much into then, obviously, an Australian ninth all-time marathon, but what about the athletes around you and where you placed in the race? Did that mean anything to you?
It was pretty cool. I did have a bit of a look at where they're ranked globally. And yeah, there are a few, I think, just ahead in that pack of three athletes. That did annoy me a little bit. It's my own fault, nothing that they did. I just seeing three people ahead of you and they're coming back to you like for the last 5K, and they just found something extra that last K to keep me at about 3 seconds the whole time when I was closing in like just under 3 minute Ks. But they had the quality to do that, and next time I've just got to go out a bit harder. But being around some of those names is pretty cool. There's plenty of world cross country representatives, guys that have much quicker personal bests than I do, and just get lots of confidence being able to have a performance like that to prove that you can do it. And hopefully that creates a challenge now to potentially make that your new benchmark. Or you can't perform up there every single race, but challenge yourself to, that's the standard now. That's where you want to be.
No, mate, such a great race. And again, congratulations to you. Two very quick questions, probably more of an interest to the average listener out there about footwear. The super shoes are pretty prominent out there, but were you donning the Saucony Endorphin Pro 4s or what was the shoe on your foot?
Great question,
Or
because I actually
Elite?
did want to come back to this because I missed it when you had the long-winded one before. So, a Saucony athlete, and very grateful for their support. They've actually managed to sneak me a pair, or not, well, I guess sneak in a way. So, the Endorphin Elite 2. The Endorphin
Yes.
Elite's probably quite a well-known shoe now. It's been out for a few years. So, in Frankfurt, I wore the first version just because I was very familiar with it. In Lisbon, I tried out, you might have seen videos on Instagram, the Endorphin Elite 2. So it's probably the softest super shoe that's ever been made. Don't have any science behind that, but go watch the videos and you'll probably agree with me. So it literally compresses under your foot, even when you're walking. It's quite remarkable. It's kept the light upper, but they've also, it's just a new foam that's incredible. I can't say too much more than that without showing a picture. So I really enjoyed racing in that in Lisbon. The pop or responsiveness of the shoe is quite remarkable and new, and definitely one of the most hyped shoes for early next year, I believe March for Australia.
Very good, mate. I believe the original version had quite an aggressive rocker. Is that the same in the second version?
That's an awesome question. I'm glad you're asking these because I'm not saying them. So the rocker in the first version is pretty much up near your metatarsals or your toes, and I do enjoy that for some of my races. So that's it's going to be good having a choice. So this second version, it's still on the aggressive side, but more midfoot, and then there's also more cushioning in the heel. So whether it's designed this way or not, I don't know, but it's really cool to have the choice of both because even depending on the course, if you're going to be on your heels or midfoot a bit more, you can make that call now with a different type of shoe. So yeah, I guess that this second version, just from the way it feels, it's a tiny bit further back, which I'm really going to enjoy because there's a few races where I've found in the first version that I just haven't been up to the task, and that's when I blow up. And when you start to go backwards, it's really nice to have a forgiving shoe. Whereas the Endorphin Elite 1, I have my best races in it. And you also have some days where it goes bad and the shoe's still trying to make you go forwards and you're landing in a different spot. And it's, yeah, turning into a nightmare.
Yeah, well, something often not thought about is the positioning of that rocker, hey, because it could be high or lower set, where it actually curves and takes form through the heel all the way to the forefoot, along with things just like the heel toe gradient, for example, and the stack of the shoe. It's something else to consider. Mate, let's get to your future running, both this year and in the next few years. Like, for example, Zatopek, that's the 10K champs, Australian 10K champs yearly. Normally around early December, isn't it? Are you going to be a part of that? And if so, or if not, what else is coming up for you?
Sadly, not this year. That was hopefully the intention, but just, yeah, haven't really demonstrated in training yet that there's enough shape there or adaptation to the heat to probably, it was always going to be tight, but yeah, simple. We just not going to make it in time. Wishing everyone the best though. Instead, this is even tighter. Next weekend, I'm meant to be lining up in our state 5000 championships, racing that as a bit of a hit out, and hopefully helping some of my squad mates as well to potentially some cool times and some university team qualifiers and things like that. So that's the intentions, to finish the race, but also being like a team orientated kind of run, if that makes sense. So I'll probably take a lot of the lead, but not, I don't think the plan's to drop out. It's just to tough it out. So it's a really not a nice way to do it, but that's the plan.
Yeah, the I'm glad you brought up the 5K champs. There should be a number of heats. I should be there, probably in heat 4 or 5 or whatever it might be further down, running around 17 minutes. But you'll be in that first heat. And what's your 5K PB these days? Is it about 13:40-ish from memory? Is that right?
Yeah, 13:49 probably hasn't changed since we last spoke. I'm not sure I've even run one
Yeah,
since we last
exactly.
spoke.
Yeah,
So,
surely it's quicker now.
funny you bring that up, because that's Jacko and I have both identified that as area for improvement in the marathon, is we want to do a solid 5K block again at some point, like it could be this year, and then hopefully raise the ceiling a bit and then push the threshold up even higher, so I have more room to access in the marathon.
Awesome, mate. Yeah, QA events, get around them. The mile was meant to happen last night at UQ. I was talking to Jude Thomas, actually. They were trying to plan an attempt at running the fastest Queensland mile. I think it's 3:56. Him and potentially a couple others, but it got cancelled with rain coming
Yes,
through.
I don't know how official this is, but I've heard a rescheduled date of 30th of November. So I'm hoping it lines up with everyone's racing schedule, because as you said, like the pace was meant to go through 157. This pace is lined up, an absolute stacked field. I think Jack Bruce, Conor Latouf,
Yep.
Jackson Paterson Wright, plus many others. So it was going to be an absolute epic men's event, and yeah, really hoping that goes ahead.
Absolutely, mate. Got a couple minutes on the clock. In terms of next year and the bigger events, marathons at least, what do you got next?
I'd still love to run a major, but I've got no plans of doing one. So Sydney, that's what I mean. That's what excites me about Sydney.
Maybe
That
it's
could
Sydney.
well be an option. January, I'll be going to Falls Creek, which will be really nice to try and accelerate the process of getting fit. And then I might end up looking for maybe a half marathon in February or March to do abroad, where it's a bit colder. So it could be Japan, could be Europe. Still got to sort all that out. And then I'll definitely be back home for our winter road running season. And yeah, just take it from there, really.
Awesome, mate. You're representing the Brisbane, Queensland, Gold Coast scene very well. And as I started, ninth fastest all time now, male marathoner. So yeah, good luck with all your future events. I'll give Journeyman Podcast a shout out. If you didn't get enough of a race recap, Tim recapped that on their podcast. I'm not sure if you went into more detail, Tim, but you'll get another version at least.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for your time today, Ollie. Always a pleasure catching up. If there's anything that's probably been prevalent today, it's I've got a pretty terrible memory and not much between my ears.
No, mate, you did well. You're a professional podcaster, as we spoke about off air. So, yeah, good luck with the running, mate, and enjoy the podcasting. Have a
Thanks
great
very
night.
much, Ollie.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.